Invite your attention to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. I know I put in the bulletin just one verse, but I can't get to the one verse until we put it in context. So we're going to start at verse 16. We're going to go down through verse 22. And we're going to continue talking tonight about the heart of a servant. Verse 16, would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? By this we know love, because He, that being Jesus, laid down His life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let none of us love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and God knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the privilege of looking into Your Word tonight. And now we pray that You would speak to us through Your Word. Father, again, we pray that You will prepare our hearts to serve You. That, Lord, we will lay no restrictions upon You about how we serve, when we serve, or even if we serve. But, Lord, we pray Your will be done, not our own. And now I pray You'll speak to us through the power of Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The heart of a servant. A heart of a servant, a spiritual servant, is always characterized by one thing. That one thing is love. And so tonight, I want to invite you, before we have our prayer time, don't look around at anybody else, but look around at you. And I'll look at me, okay? And examine our own hearts to determine if that love that should be there is there. And I start with a question. That question is, what is love? Not the world's definition of love. But have you ever tried to put a definition to that word? It's more than a feeling or an emotion or an empty act of some sort. And when I tried this afternoon to define it as I see it, and I can't. I cannot put into words what that word love means. But I do know this. I can identify it very easily. And that's what it's talking about here in verse 16 that we read. It said, by this we know, or that we can recognize and we see what love truly is and what love truly looks like. The only way, if you want to see what love or understand what love is all about, you can't look at me and I can't look at you. We have to look at Jesus Christ Himself. That is our absolute, and not to repeat, well, I'll repeat myself from this morning, that Jesus is our absolute example of what love looks like. And what John is talking about here, he said Jesus showed us that love by laying down His life for us. Because we can look at Jesus and identify what love actually looks like, we can also look at ourselves and identify if we have that love in our own hearts. Now, I want you to understand, you know, if you're going to serve, you better serve out of love. Because if you don't serve out of love, you're not going to last very long. Because you're going to get tired. People aren't going to appreciate, or something's not going to go your way. And if it's not absolutely, I'm serving out of a heart of love, you're not going to stand the test of time. And when we talk about serving, I want you to understand, we're not talking about mowing somebody's yard. We're not talking about washing somebody's car. I guess if there was a particular need involved there and they couldn't do it for themselves, maybe. But what we're talking about is seeing a need, a spiritual need, and acting on it. Isn't that what Jesus did? When Jesus, the reason He was crucified is He looked down through history at all of mankind, including you and I, and He saw people in need of something. That something, of course, was salvation, forgiveness of sin, redemption, being redeemed back to God. He saw that as being the greatest need that man had, and He acted on that need. Now here, back to the heart of a servant. You want to love like Jesus loved, you got to live like Jesus lived. And you got to be willing to lay down your life for others. Specifically the brethren. And what does that look like? I'm glad you asked, because I can tell by looking at you, you're just waiting for me to tell you so you can act on it. Amen? It's the ability to see a need among the brethren and act on it. Specifically, Vacation Bible School is coming up. If you're not real careful, you'll see a lot of work that's required. Chasing kids, being here after work each night and all that stuff. You can't look at that. You've got to see the need. What is the need? The need is children who are going to grow up into adults. And what we do with those children today will determine what they do with Jesus Christ tomorrow. See the need? Teaching Sunday school. Why do we teach, you know, why do we have Sunday school teachers? It requires a lot of study, a lot of effort, and a lot of faithfulness. Because you look at people and you see people who have a need to know more about Jesus. That's why you do it. College students. I'm excited about college ministry this year. We're still in the process of the MBSF building and at Tech, and all that's in process, but man, that opens up doors. But before you serve as a minister to college students, and I'm not talking about Kelly, I'm talking about all of us, we have to see the need. And the need is those college students are being taught everything except Jesus on that campus. We've got to teach them who Jesus is. Same way with teens. I'm excited about Josh coming. He comes on the 22nd. What I'm trying to get to all of us is don't see the work. Don't look at, my goodness, I don't want to dedicate that much time. Look at the need and see the need with love. Then your work will come. Jesus will give you what you need. One great need we have right now, I'll just throw it out there, and I've mentioned it before, but we have a prayer team every Sunday morning praying during worship. You say, Brother Doug, I can pray anytime, but you need to understand, right? The battle that's going on. I'm not going to share this. Yeah, I'm going to share it. there are many days when I'm sitting on that front pew right there that I'm fighting Satan himself. With every distraction, everything he can throw in my mind and discouragement. And I look around and I say, boy, the crowd's missing today. Where is everybody? I don't need to think like that. I need to think, glory to God. Lord, let me up there to proclaim the gospel. But I'm not the only one that's fighting battles. There are people that are here whose marriages are challenged. People who are fighting battles at work. People who are doubting their salvation. People who just need a closer walk with Jesus. Why, you know, that's why we see the needs. We look into the people's eyes and we know that Brother Doug can't do it. We know that people can't do it. But we've got to have the power of God to change lives. There's nothing more awesome. There's nothing more awesome than seeing somebody walk down this aisle and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. But it's not because of something I'm going to say. It's because of something that God's going to do. That's why we pray, God, put your power on this service. So let me encourage you, right? We're trying to get this prayer team up to the point where each person only has to serve once a month. So you'd only miss one time of worship a month. But I promise you this, as you and since we've started it, we've had a lot of people join the church. We've had God act on things that have been prayed for. I mean, the list is long because people are praying. But let's not just leave it to them to pray. I want to encourage you. He said, Brother Doug, I'm not a good prayer. Well, you better learn. Right? It's a good opportunity for you to practice. Right? So if you would consider this, and this isn't, I said this morning I wasn't going to talk you into anything, did I? But if you'd consider this, if you can pray, see Brother Ken after church tonight. See him and tell him, Brother Ken, I want to join you in that prayer team because we need prayer warriors if God is going to work in our midst. You've got to see the need. And that's what Jesus saw our need and He acted. And that's the challenge with being a servant. We see the need and we act. We go on. In verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Don't love in word, but in deed. How many times do we say, I love you, without even thinking about it? I'll be honest with you, you know, I do love you. But it's easy for me to say. Jesus is giving us instruction here. There's more to it than words. See, to love in word means to talk about a need. To love in deed means to do something to meet that need. That's the difference. That's where we're talking about being a servant. Because we love and we see that need and we're willing to act on it. But see, here's the problem. Verses 20 and 21, the way it's translated, it's kind of hard to understand. But the idea of verses 20 through 21 deals with the guilt. There are a lot of people dealing with guilt. What's the guilt? They know they should be acting and they're not acting. They know they should be doing and they're not doing. When you see something and God says, you could do this, and you say, nah, somebody else will take care of it. You walk away, but you know deep down in your heart, I should have acted. That's what he's talking about, the heart condemning you. When you know you should be involved, when you know you should have acted. And the funny thing is, you know, the the non-condemning heart. That means you're at peace with God. There's nothing more peaceful than knowing you're where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do. At the same time, there's nothing more troubling than being not where God wants you to be, not doing what God wants you to do. I go back to the years that I spent running from God, and most preachers have their story, but you know, I look back and I think, why did I waste that time? I was miserable. Beth was miserable. When I finally said, okay, Lord, that peace was there, and it has never left since. That's my prayer for our church family. I know everyone's not called to preach. I know everyone's not called to teach a Sunday school class. I even know everybody's not called to be part of the prayer team. But we're all called to do something. Right? We're all called to do something. The challenge of this week is, what is that something? I told you I wanted you to pray about that. The list that I gave you, or the questionnaire that we gave you this morning. Oh, please do. Be faithful in praying this prayer. Lord, whatever you want me to do, please show me. How do you want to use me in the upcoming new church year, which will start in September? Show me, Lord, how I can serve you. Father, I place no restrictions on you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll be whatever you want me to be. I said, Brother Doug, that's dangerous. No, that's peace. That's peace. I'll go wherever you want me to go. But Father, please show me how you want to use me this year. That has to be our prayer at this point. And our purpose has to be for the glory of God. If we're going to have a servant's heart, that servant's heart is going to be a loving heart. That loving heart is going to be characterized by acting on needs and seeing needs and filling those needs. But you can't act until you see. That's where prayer comes in. Pray, Lord, for your glory, show me how you want to use me. The wonderful thing about that prayer is this. Verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Do you realize what this says? Whatever you ask. When you have peace with God, when you're ready to do whatever God calls you to do, be whatever God calls you to be, and whatever you ask, you'll receive. If you pray this prayer of, Lord, show me, God's going to show you. But here's the requirement. Because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing to Him. If you ask God, show me, do not say, no, God, I don't want to do that. Give you some insight. Whatever God leads you to do, that's where you will have the most joy this year. Whatever He leads you to do, that's where you will find your joy. If it's vacation Bible school, that will be your joy. If it's keeping nursery, that will be your joy. If it's teaching a class, that's where you'll have joy. But I promise you this, if you tell God no, your heart will condemn you. Your heart will condemn you, and you will have no peace. Listen. We're supposed to be faithful stewards. Amen? God has given us this life. And we're supposed to act as stewards of this life. Pray, Lord, show me my place that I may serve for your honor and for your glory. We're going to end the service a little bit differently. We're not going to have an invitation today. I'm going to ask you in just a few moments to just bow your head right where you're sitting. And I'm going to ask you to pray and earnestly seek the Lord in the matter of this list that I've given you. But the bottom line to that list is, Lord, whatever you want me to do, will you please show me? And we're going to have church-wide prayer time. We're going to just sit in silence for a little while. And I will close out and finish the service in prayer. And after my prayer, you're dismissed. But this is a little bit old-fashioned prayer service. Will you bow your heads? And will you ask God to use you and to show you, Lord, how may I be used for your glory?